Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Let's get controversial today, big guy. Here's the headline. Samuel Alito used his dissent in the abortion pill ruling to call out three justices in an act of judiciary theater. SCOTUS expert says this comes via Business Insider. Kelsey Vlamis, Aaron Snodgrass, and Azmi Huron. Honestly, I feel like those names almost come out of the Onion. Nevertheless, I feel like Kelsey Vlamis, Aaron Snodgrass, and Azmi Huron.
I don't think we're going to give anything on the meter today because it's obviously a pretty big piece. They have three different writers on it with a ton of research for them. Again, there's always going to be bias in any writing, but I looked them up. They're all legal reporters, so it's hard to pinpoint that. I know I've been taking the easy way out lately, but I just don't think we can even give it them on the meter. I just don't think we can.
So I'm interested to see where you're going to take this article, but let me give you a little couple of snippets. The Supreme Court ruling last week ensured the abortion pill mifepristone can still be purchased and used in the U.S., freezing a lower court ruling that would have effectively banned access to the pill. Two justices, Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, publicly dissented, with the later writing an opinion in which he called out the three female justices by name in an apparent act of judiciary theater. The ruling did not specify how most of the judges voted or even how many justices voted in favor. Because it was an emergency request, the case was reviewed under what is known as the court's shadow docket, where they only rule on procedural matters. Cases that are considered on the shadow docket do not get the same level of review as other cases, meaning the decisions are accompanied by little to no explanation. Alito apparently doesn't like the shadow document. Are we going to talk today about the shadow document or about mifepristone?
Well, we're going to talk about all of the above. And by the way, that is incorrect about Alito and the shadow docket.
So he doesn't like the shadow docket.
No, that's not true. In this case, he doesn't, but that's not true. He's been criticized for using the shadow docket too much. So this is kind of a heavy information show, and I apologize in advance, but there's a lot going on here. Number one is, last week, 2 weeks ago, this whack job judge in Texas, who was appointed by Trump, I think it was Texas, I don't even remember where it was, he basically said that this abortion pill that had been on the market for 23 years had been reviewed by the FDA and released. He said, oh, it's unsafe and it wasn't reviewed properly, so he's going to take it off the market across the country. And of course, because of Roe v. Wade and all the things, Dobbs versus whatever, all these abortion issues, this blew up. Now, it was clear this guy was playing politics. This guy's a jack wagon. He is serving. He's doing everything you're not supposed to do on the federal court. Okay, so that's one small snippet. We're not talking about that in the show, but it gives a little bit of context and background to this. So the pill is removed from the market. So it's important to understand the difference between the shadow docket in regular court cases. I think there's a name they have for the regular cases. The court will hear these regular cases, like 30 or 40 of them in a year. They do a ton of research. They have all sorts of people, all these people that clerk for the justices, do all this research on it. And then they usually will write a dissent, right? And then an agreement, you know, so they got everybody's taking sides and they're really telling you why they decided what they decided. So there's a lot of background and people study this and look at this and it goes into, you know, the legal history of the court and people use it as precedent and all sorts of blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that's the typical case. Now they have these other types of cases that they refer to them as shadow dockets because they're just simply saying, did the lower courts that ruled on these cases, did they do something correctly or incorrectly in terms of sort of the legality of the case itself? Not whether it's right or wrong, not whether or not it's constitutional or not, but the actual way the court or the lower court ruled on it. So in this case, they ruled against it, and we don't know why they did it. We don't even know who voted for it. All we know is two dissenters. Alito, Justice Thomas, dissented. Thomas didn't even say why he dissented. He just said he did dissent. Alito writes this secondary piece. Now, there's a backstory even to this. Alito has been criticized because he's used the shadow docket to move his case forward. Alito and Thomas are by far and away the most conservative and the most, they weaponize the court. They are pushing a political agenda. That's been their criticism. I believe that to be true. So Alito has been criticized for that. He's been criticized by the three women that he referred to including Amy Coney Barrett, who is a total pro-lifer, right? But she clearly voted against this on basis of the way it was handled in the courts. So Alito is calling them out. This is basically grandstanding. He's calling them out, as they said in the article, a little judicial theater. So that's kind of the background of the case about why it was so controversial, because it's usually been Alito using the shadow docket. And so he's calling them out because he's like, well, it's okay when you do it, but it's not okay when I do it. That's what he's basically saying.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to unpack in there. I don't even know where to get into it. I love that Clarence Thomas has been in the news as well, because he's been getting $500,000 trips for the last 25 years. And this big story that came out in ProPublica recently. And it's hard to have any credibility in anything that he even action-wise does or says, because he's basically being taken for a ride by conservatives.
And that's the thing about the Alito case, right? That's why it was so interesting that Alito, I mean, typically these shadow docket cases don't, there's nothing, we don't know why they did what they did, they just did it. But Alito went out of his way to call out these three other justices, which is sort of, it's kind of, you just typically don't do that. And he did it. And so people are like, why would he do it? What is he trying? What message is he sending to the court, to his donors? The problem with the court is that, and I do believe this, that the majority of the justices actually want to rule based on what their legal background is. They say, I'm going to rule on this. Even
and they are.
And Brett, no, but what I'm saying, they're ruling based on what they see as the legality of things. Of Alito and Thomas are not. Alito and Thomas are basically ruling on whatever they want to rule on.
But they're ruling on how they presented themselves when they were getting confirmed. They were very conservative.
Right,
very conservative.
True, but they all say, I'm going to rule on the merit of the case itself. They're not going to say, I'm going to rule on whatever I think. Like, look, if there was an amendment that was passed that said all abortion in the United States is legal, right? I think there's, 29 amendments, the 30th Amendment, whatever, is that they pass it and they say all abortion in the United States is legal, constitutionally legal. People are saying that Thomas and Alito would rule against it, a case that went before them, even though it was constitutionally protected. They're saying they're not listening to what the court, what the Constitution actually says. That's the argument.
I got to ice my brain after that one. You just double flipped on me, and I don't really know where you are. So are we just getting into this shadow document, or are we getting into Mifepristone?
Well, I think Mifepristone is the reason why this is such a big deal is Mifepristone is a legal abortion pill. And you know that the issue around abortion is a big deal. The Mifepristone is just it. By the way, most of the time that women get abortions, they use what do they call them? Chemically induced abortion. So they're not actually going into a doctor. They're taking a pill. As long as you do it within the first or second trimester, you could take it. Your body discharges it. And there have been by the way, very, very, very little medical problems from taking the pill. In fact, there have been far more deaths attributed to Viagra than to Mifepristone, right?
But they're arguing Mifepristone, the reason this suit came about is not about abortion. It's that the FDA did not go through and do the correct amount of studies on this drug, Mifepristone. And that's what they're suing
about. Right, but the shadow docket, for whatever reason, the shadow docket is saying, no, dude, you can't do what you did. He did something that he shouldn't have done. He took this thing off the market, and he didn't have the right to do that. Just because you're a judge doesn't mean you can just do whatever you want. That's what they're saying.
What's interesting, though, is the Supreme Court ruled for Mifepristone, but all the other cases and judges ruled against it, and we're going to take it off the market.
Right. Well, that's my point, is that they ruled on a procedural issue. They didn't rule on whether or not abortion is good or bad.
But my point is, though, you can debate on how Supreme Court got it right or wrong, but they're ruling that it can still be on the market. You're saying these judges, whatever. But all the previous judges in the previous court cases ruled against Mifepristone.
Because what the people are doing on the right and the left is they're putting it in front of the judges that they know will rule a certain way. That it's a manipulation of the court system. I am hopeful that with Amy Coney Barrett ruling, if he's, because we don't know, by the way, we don't know what she did. We're assuming she did because Alito said she did. But if somebody like Amy Coney Barrett has said, we're going to rule on a procedural issue just because I don't like abortion doesn't mean that I can just throw everything out, the precedent of the court willy-nilly. That's the, that to me is the hopeful part of this. Because Alito and Clarence Thomas are jackwagons. I mean, clearly Clarence Thomas is just, he's had his hand in the cookie jar forever. I don't know if Alito is, you know, is involved in malfeasance. I'm assuming he's not, but he's definitely doing whatever he wants to do. So that's the encouraging part is that somebody did something right. Because, look, whether you stand on the side of abortion should be legal or illegal, the point is there still is rule of law. And we still have to follow the will of the people and the will of the law. And they were saying, hey, this was ruled incorrectly. So whether you like abortion or don't like, whatever it is, bottom line is this case was handled improperly and it was struck down because of that.
And is that it?
Well, that's it for Myth of Presto, and they can bring it back, I guess. But, you know, what they're saying is, they're going to be taking runs at this forever.
No, but my point is, mifepristone will be a drug that is allowed across the country, and women can still use this.
Yes.
Now, abortion is going to go back and forth.
Exactly. And that's going to be ugly forever. But the point is that mifepristone will not be removed from the market because the court struck down this ruling by this lower court.
So then, like, if you... I'm not a woman. I'm not going to have an abortion. But you can, if you're kind of somewhat smart, you can get this drug and have an abortion in a state that is against abortion.
Yes, that's the point. I mean, like,
you just can't get the one where you walk in and there's an actual medical procedure.
Exactly. Okay. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if mifepristone, part of this case that was complicated is they're saying, can states just take an FDA-approved drug off, regardless of what it is?
Yeah.
Maybe Alabama says, I'm picking on Alabama because they're fairly conservative. Maybe they say, hey, we don't want Viagra. Even though it was approved by the FDA, we don't think that dudes should be having sex with their wives or whatever. We're going to take Viagra off the market because we don't like it. Is that okay? That's really what it comes down to. Or maybe we think that God's will is that if you get cancer, you should die. And so any cancer drugs that you could take here are now going to be banned because we don't like them. That's obviously ridiculous. That's not going to happen. But that's the point is, like, does the court have the right? Do judges have the right to remove FDA approved items from receiving it regardless of where it is? That's a big issue of this.
They
case.
Would have opened a giant can of worms.
Ooh, and they did. That's why people were losing their minds. It wasn't just about the abortion issue. It was about everything else that goes along with this.
So one of the main jobs of the, I forget the head of the Supreme Court, John Roberts, who's the Supreme Court Justice. What's his name? He's the
Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Chief Justice. His job is to really kind of restore the credibility of the court so people feel like, hey, we're trying to rule like the law of the land. And I'm telling you, with this Clarence Thomas and Alito and all that's going on in our world, Roberts has a really tough job to make sure that the trust remains in the court.
Absolutely. And he's pushed really, really hard to do that. I mean, he's in fact ruled against the conservative body, even though, you know, because he says that, no, we can't do these things. He's working. I do have faith in John Roberts. I think he is a good man who actually cares about. Now, I'm not saying that I agree with everything that he rules on, but I think he rules on the constitutionality, which is the sole purpose of the court. Their job is to rule on this rule book, the Constitution. It says what can be allowed and what cannot be allowed. Their job is not to decide what people should think, whether what religion they should follow. It's simply to look at the Constitution and determine within the framework of the Constitution what's legal and what's not legal. They don't get into all the other, they're not supposed to get into all the other stuff. And that's why Alito and Thomas have been so criticized because, you know, it seems pretty clear they're being affected by political ideologies. The court is supposed to have removed political ideologies and only rule on the law.
And just for record, though, I mean, I come back to this thing about abortion. You know, 63%, almost 2/3 of the country, are sort of for common sense abortion, right?
Right.
That's just it. But we can't get that law passed because of the way politics is. I want the Supreme Court to reflect the sort of general will of the populace of America.
Yeah, but that's not how it works, dude.
I know it's not because there's conservatives on there and Democrats.
No,
but
it's not. That's not what the point is. The point is, look, what if all of a sudden tomorrow 90% of Americans said, we don't want free speech in this country anymore. We don't want you to be able to say whatever you want to say. Well, the court regardless of whether it's only 10% or 90%, the court is going to rule on the First Amendment of the Constitution. That's what they're going to rule on. They're not going to, they're supposed to be removed from the public discourse on this. They're supposed to only follow the law.
But my point would be, if you've got conservative white males stacked on that court,
because they're following
losing
their political ideology. That's the point.
That's my point. And you start losing faith in the court. And I'm hoping that doesn't.
Me too. I agree with you on that one.
All right, Brandon. Thank you for teaching me today about Justice Alito. Shadow dockets? Any other shadows?
No, that's it. Just shadow dockets, Larry.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Brandon.